Very good. As we are by Erev Yom Kippur already, and the preparations should have already started. Obviously, preparing spiritually, discussion perhaps whether the mitzvah of achila, of eating, if a Yom Kippur begins tonight. But that's not going to be our discussion tonight. Tonight is going to be our main discussion going to be what we'll be doing multiple times tomorrow, which will be bowing. Being mishtachav akorim, bowing down on our hands and knees at a certain point during the davening, aleinu, and by the recitation of the avoda. And the question is, why do we do it? And are there any issues with it? And we have a beautiful shul here that has a stone floor, which may lend itself to a possible Isra d'Oraisa. And so let's see what we need to know.
We have to lower the price of the seats next year.
The Gemara in Megillah on Daf Chav Beis Amud Beis is the source. It records that Rav was once visiting Bavel. Says the Gemara in Megillah Chav Beis Amud Beis. Rav Ikul Bavel B'Tayna Sibur. Rav found himself in Bavel on a fast day. It's not important that it was a fast day right now, but that's just the context of what's going on. Nafal Kulei Alma on Pahu. And then, at that point, while davening in the shul, at that time, for Tachnun, the entire tzibur fell on their faces, and that's how they said Tachnun, by going down, bowing fully on their faces. The Rav lo nafal al anpe. The Rav did not bow down on his face. Okay, so the Gemara wants to know, how come the whole tzibur is standing there? He's lo siskodudu, he's going against the custom of the community, everyone else is bowing down on their face in the shul, and Rav is standing there like nothing's going on. So it says the Gemara, my time, Rav lo nafil, alapay. So how come Rav didn't go down on his face? So the Gemara says, Ritzpa shel avanim haisa. The floor in that shul was made of stones. V'tanya, we have a brisa. V'even mashlus lo sitneu ba'artzachem l'shtachavos alael. Says the pasuk in Vayikra, the end of Sefer Vayikra, that says that you should not place a kneeling stone, an Evan Tashlis, you should not place a stone for kneeling in your land so you can bow down on it. This is what the Pasuk says, okay? Now, the Turi Evan here, the Shagas Aryan is Turi Evan, so he discusses this idea that it has to be Ba'artzachem in your land. And he discusses perhaps why is it only Usher to bow on a stone floor in Eretz Yisrael? It says Artsachem in Eretz Yisrael. And he has a whole discussion about why it's not Eretz Yisrael, it applies everywhere, and that the whole Isser of bowing on a stone floor, which we'll discuss momentarily more in depth, applies in Eretz Yisrael, and Chutz La'aretz is not just for Eretz Yisrael. So let's look at Rashi. Rashi says that, very interesting, he says, Lo Asra Torah, B'Pasuk Zeh, El Shalo Yasu Ritzpas Avanim Bebesak Neses Dugmas Shomigdash. So there's two things in Rashi we want to point out, but let's just focus on the first one. He says the Isser is to make the stone floor. That's what Rashi says. Shalo Yasu Ritzpas Avanim. It's Usser to make a stone floor in a shul. That's the case. We are.
We're in trouble.
Okay? So we have to see who else talks about this. So the Mishnah Chachamim in Sivan Lam and Zion says that it's clear that that is not the Isser. The Isser is to bow down on the stone floor, and there's no problem making a stone floor. Haraya, we are in this beautiful shul, okay? And in fact, he says, what's the raya that it can't be to make the stone floor? Because if the Gemara says that Rav didn't bow down because of the stone floor, he was davening in a shul the entire time that had a stone floor. If the whole problem was to have a stone floor in the first place, he wouldn't have been davening in the shul, right? If I can't put a cross in the shul, it's like, oh, only when I'm bowing down, the problem is the cross. No, if it's usher to have something in the shul, I wouldn't be davening there in the first place at all. So it can't be. That's the halacha. The Meiri, it's not here on the sheet, but the Meiri says that there's really two shitos in the Rishonim. He says that one opinion says it's usher to make a stone floor in the shul, because it's being made to bow on. You're making the stone floor, showing that you're making something that's usher that you're going to use. And he says, there are those who only prohibit making the floor out of stone in the areas where people bow. Only places where people are sitting. That's where you can't make a stone floor. But in all the places where people are not going to end up bowing or davening in that special area, so it's no problem making a stone floor. And he says, there's no, on the other sheet that says, there's no problem making the stone floor in a location even where people will bow there at all. So he brings up Rishitas to Rishonim. Is it us who can make the stone floor? Is it not? But I think we can, we see, Pukhazi, Mayim Advar, you know, go see in the other shuls, people make stone floors. So clearly it's not the halacha, Lamaisa, that it's usher to make a stone floor. What's the isser here? What, there are three shitas in the Rishonim regarding what is the isser of bowing down on a stone floor. So the first is Rashi. Let's go back to what Rashi said. Rashi said, Dugmas shel Migdash. You're not a, the Beis HaMigdash had a stone floor. And you're not allowed, says Rashi, to make a stone floor because that will mimic the construction of the Beis HaMigdash. This is the idea of Mora Mikdash, that the Beis HaMikdash is special. We have to revere it. We have to fear the Beis HaMikdash, have respect for it, and therefore we cannot copy things from the Beis HaMikdash. Right? The Rambam writes, you cannot make an exact replica of the Beis HaMikdash with the same dimensions. You can make a miniature. We all love looking at miniature pictures and models of the Beis HaMikdash. It's very popular in tourist trap in Eretz Yisrael. But to make a full-scale Beis HaMikdash, that is usher, not allowed. And that's also, the Rambam says, it's usher to make the menorah. But you can't make a menorah with seven branches, like they have in the Migdash. Says the Rambam again, because of Mora Migdash. There's a school in the, let's just say, the Tri-State area, to make it as broad as possible. So there's a school in the Tri-State area where they were given a 3D printing machine on a grant. And with this, they had a great idea for Hanukkah, that they were going to make, they hired an architect who knew how to use 3D printing, and they were going to make a 3D print to print out the pieces according to the Rambam's version of what the menorah looks like. And for Hanukkah, they printed it out, and it took all day, and they put it together, and they built a full, a nice little model of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash that seemed to possibly have been an Issur D'oraisa. To make such a menorah. We're not allowed to make a construction of the menorah. There was a heterim there, perhaps, because of the material it was made of, but still, we don't make seven-branched menorahs, because it takes away from the fear of the Beis HaMikdash. Only the Beis HaMikdash has these things. No place else should have it. That's Rashi's approach.
They had to go outside of, by the Kotel.
Oh, yes. They think they're making it
for the Beis
HaMikdash. They think that's it.
Right. Okay, right.
We'll have to, whatever, I guess Eliyahu Navi will determine that for us. So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Avodah Zarah. Here he discusses this sister. He says, "V'chein even mashkes ha'amura b'Torah." This idea of the stone floor in the Torah, "Afal pi shehu mishtachave aleha l'shem loka." If you bow down for it, you got malchus shamar. "V'even mashkes lo titznu ba'artzachem l'shtachavos aleha." B'pnei, why? "Shaya derech obde kochavim." As of many isurim in the Rambam, it stems from Avodah Zarah, because this is what the Obdei Avodah Zarah do. La'aniach evan lefaneha l'shachavos aleha. To have an evan, have a stone there to bow down on, and therefore it would be mimicking Avodah Zarah to bow down on a stone floor. That is Shita number two. Okay, the Rambam repeats this in Sefer HaMitzvos. Rabbi Nebachya says the same thing on the Psukim here. The idea being that it's going to stem from Avodah Zarah. The Chassam Sofer asks a question on this Pasuk. He asks, If the case is that you're not allowed to have a stone floor because it looks like a Avodah Zarah, so then why do I have a stone floor in the Beis HaMikdash? No? Right? You can't have a stone floor, so then why do they have it in the Beis HaMikdash? So that, according to Rashi's reason, so it fits, only the Beis HaMikdash. So he explains that there's no choice. You have no choice. The Beis HaMikdash has to have a stone floor for design reasons. Because what do they have to do in the Beis HaMikdash? They have to wash the floors. Because when they had the korbanos, especially by Korban Pesach, they would flood the floors and clean it, and they would wipe it clean. If you had a dirt floor, that would not be great. I mean, maybe in the third base of English, they'll have vinyl flooring. I don't know. To be determined. But that's how the Chassam Sofer answers that question. Third shita, what is the issue here of bowing down? That is the Sefer Achinuch. The Sefer Achinuch quotes the Rambam, and then he explains the Rambam, not really according to what the Rambam says. The Sefer Achinuch says, the Efshar Lomar King, Shahatan Athne Shinira Kemishtachavel Evan Atzma. If you bow down on the stone floor, it says, if you're bowing down to the stone, Acha Shehikunua Vitzirua Hivna Yesh Makom Lechashad, people might think you're bowing to some sort of Avodah Zarah that is in the stone floor itself. Okay, this is also the understanding of the Or Zarua, the Hilchos Tefillah Siman Tzadi Gimel. Okay, let's continue on in the Gemara. We understand what the Isser is. Let's clarify the Isser. Says the Gemara, Aleha, you cannot bow down on the stone floor by Artsachem, Aval Atzad Mishtachav Alavanim Shal Beis HaMikdash, you're allowed to bow down on a stone floor in the Beis HaMikdash, which is what they did. Kedu Ula de Amar Ula. Ula said, Lo Asra Torah Ela Ritzpa Shal Avanim Bilvad. The Torah only forbade a floor of stones. I Ahachi Mai Irya. So they ask on Rav now. Okay, the whole problem is bound down on a stone floor. So Mai Irya Rav Afilu Kuhu Nami Kamei De Rav Havei Vezile Lagabei Tzibura Velinpo Alape. So the Gemara asks now, so why didn't Rav bow? So why did the rest of the Tzibur bow then? They want to know. So Rav, I know why didn't bow. So how come everybody else? If it's us for the bow on the stone floor, so how come Rav didn't bow? So the Gemara says that Rav was standing in a place where there was only stones, and the rest of the Tzibur was standing in a place where there were no stones. It was just different. The shul had a weird construction. So the Gemara now questions. So he says, why didn't Rav go? The Rav have a liz legabi tzibur v'lin pol alpei. So Rav should have moved to where everybody else was, where there was no stones, and then he could have bowed down in a place where everything was clear. So says the Gemara, lo boi lemitrach tzibura. He did not want to bother the rest of the tzibur because he knew when he walked across the place, everyone was going to stand up for him. He didn't want people to have to stand up for him, so he stayed where he was, and it was not an issue. Vibai same. I have another answer why he didn't move, and this is very important for us. Rav Pishut Yadayim V'Raglayim Hava Avid. Rav, when he used to bow down, he would do Pishut Yadayim V'Raglayim. That meant spread full, arms out, legs back. Not like we bow, where we're on our knees and our hands, but rather as if you're lying fully extended on the floor. That's how he would bow. The Kudula de Amar, this is like Ula. Ula says, Ula lo asra Torah, the whole Isser of bowing down on the stone floor is Ela Pishut Yadayim V'Raglayim Bilvad. The whole Isser of bowing on a stone floor is only if you have a full extension on the stone floor. Only in that manner is it prohibited to bow down. Okay, and that's how the Gemara seems to conclude. Says Tosos Avir. Tosos asks a very important question. He says, V'kasha, V'kilo haya yogea d'matzi l'shinuye hachi. So, the Gemara knows both answers. Okay? So that he wants to know, why didn't the Gemara answer about that, why didn't the Gemara give the answer first about that Rav bowed down full extension? Why did the Gemara say that for the second answer? The first answer was that he was in a different place, right? He didn't want to walk across to bother everyone. Why didn't the Gemara first give the answer? If it knew the answer that Rav held the Shita, that it's only usher to bow down on stones if you're fully extended, so why didn't the Gemara give that answer first? So says Tosfos, Shlomar Dimikara Asarei Midrabanan below Pishu Daim V'Raglayim. So Tosfos answers that the first Shita holds that it's Asar Midrabanan to bow down on a stone floor even if you're not fully extended. Which is what we would seem to have an issue with here, right? Even if you bow down on your knees and your hands, you're not fully extended. It's asur midirabanan to do such a thing. Even if you're not fully extended. Below pisha dan v'raglayim, uvisof kamar, vibai seima. And the other answer says, ain asur midirabanan. The second answer which says that Rav felt that it was asur to bow down fully extended holds, if you're not fully extended, you're only underneath hands and your knees, so then it's not asur midirabanan. So says Tosfos, we have a machlokes in the Gemara, whether it's asur to bow down on a stone floor midirabanan if you're not fully extended. You're just on your knees and your hands. V'rav pishadan v'raglayimhu, da'avid v'asur min haTorah, and only extending is asur min haTorah, but everything else is allowed. And this is how Tosfos leaves us, that there's still an isur derabanan to go on your hands and knees on a stone floor. That's how Tosfos leaves the Gemara. Let's look at the Rambam. The Rambam seems to hint everything that Tosfos says. Says the Rambam in the next halach in Hilchos Avodas Gechavim, Perek Vav, halach Zayin. B'madvarim amurim. This whole Isser of bowing down on stone floors. Bishar hamakomos. Aval b'migdash mutzul l'shtachavos l'avanim. The Beis HaMikdash allowed to bow down on stones. Shne'amar. Ba'artzechem yata mishtachavim alavanim. Aval ata mishtachavim alavanim. Hamufutzalos v'migdash, you can bow down on the Beis HaMikdash, no problem. Ubifnei zeh, nahu kol Yisrael, Lahatzi machzalos bevetei knesios. The minhag of the Jewish people is to put down mats in the shuls, haritzufos ba'avanim, that are covered with stones, omine kash, the tevin, or some sort of straw, lahavdil bein pinehem ubein ha'avanim, between their faces and the stones. Vimlo matza davar mavdil bein ubein ha'aven, if I don't have anything to protect my face from the stones, holech l'makam acher, go someplace else, mishtachava oshocha al tzedo, go on your side, umatza kadei shalot, Yad big panav be'evan, as long as your face does not come in contact with the stone floor. So this is all cited by the Rambam. So what do we see here at the end of the day? Or at this point in the shir, in order to violate an issur d'oraisa bound down on a stone floor, you need two conditions. It has to be stone, and it has to be pishut yadayim v'raglayim, where your hands and legs are fully extended. And in addition, there's an issur d'rabbanan to go on your hands and knees on a stone floor. This is brought lahalacha here in the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Tachanun in Kuflam and Aleph. Ches says the Shulchan Aruch, "V'chein aser l'chol adam lipol al panav b'pishu adayim v'raglayim." This aser for anyone to extend their full body on the stone. Afil im ein sham even mashlis. Now, even if it's not only a stone floor, right? Because it's either or. To be fully extended on a not stone floor would be aser midrabana, right? To be fully extended in a not stone floor would be aser midrabana, right? And therefore, aval im no tekzas al tzedo, if you move to your side, mutzer, im ein sham even mashkes, as long as there's no stone. V'chein yasu biyom kippur, and this is for us, on Yom Kippur, shenofum al pneim, when we bow in Yom Kippur, im yatsiyu, im sham asavim, k'zei lahafsik ben akarka, v'chein elagin. We put something down to block our faces from the stone floor. And this will be repeated in Hilchos Yom Kippur later on. Let's look at the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah pretty much summarizes everything we've said so far. And let's just go to the last line of the... We're not going to read through the whole thing. Just go to the last line of the wide lines. He says, "Be'ata novel levar divrei hagah." Let me explain the Ramazes. "V'chein asur l'chol adam rotza lomar." Kamo ba'adam chashuv hanal asur afil below even mashlis. Kain hacha elasham usur afilu derech keda. Bacha ein isur rak dafka derech pishadayim v'raglayim. The whole isur on any floor is only if you're fully extended, but if you're on your hands and knees, that's fine. Okay? Good. That is what we need to know about bowing on stone floors. Let's transition now to Yom Kippur. What do we do on Yom Kippur? We know by the Avoda, and we know by Aleinu, even by Rosh Hashanah, we do some sort of bowing down. What is the source? The source, the earliest source for this minhag is found in the Rav Yah. Now there's two printings of the Rav Yah. This is found in the older printings in Taf Kuf Lamed, and the newer printings, Taf Kuf Chaf Ches. He says as follows, Tanya. It says, Asara pa'amim maskir kohen gadol es Hashem, shlosha bevidui rishon. There are 10 times in the kohen gadol mentions the full name of Hashem, 3 times in the vidui, lifnei Hashem sitaru, Echad mayhem b'chol vidui, v'shloshu b'vidui, sheni v'shloshu b'vidui shlishim, v'echad the goralos, 3 times in each vidui, and 1 time when he takes the goral, when he makes the lottery. So says the Rav Yah, v'al kol os karayu mevarchin, they would make the bracha of a korim l'chavod Hashem. And in the Beis HaMikdash, they would bow in honor of Hashem. Now, the Rav Yah only says, in the Rav Yah's version of the Gemara, only says they bow, but it doesn't say to put their faces on the floor. And now the Rav Yah quotes from the Sifrei HaChitzonim. We'll explain what that is in a second. Shirmasa Rabbi Nechuna ben Hakana HaGadol as Hashem l'tamidav. He taught the name of Hashem to his students. Shitziva lahem l'kroa v'lipol al pneihem. And he commanded his students that when they hear this name of Hashem on Yom Kippur, they should bow on their faces. Meaning, the previous Gemara he's quoting just said that they bow. And Nechuna ben Hakana told his students they should bow all the way to their faces. Now, for us, we do this on Yom Kippur because this is what the Paitan writes in our Nusach of the Avodah of Yom Kippur. And therefore, we also put our faces on the floor. What is he quoting from the Sefer HaChitzonim? So the Sefer HaChitonim is the Heichalos Rabasi, which is one of the earliest books of Kabbalah, which tells this whole long story of Nechunda ben Akana and his students and the Shimon Meforash and how he discovered it and how he taught it to them, and has a whole long dialogue over there. And at the end it says that he taught them to put their faces to the ground when bowing. This is cited, this whole thing is pretty much recited verbatim by the Or Zarua, who's a Talmud of the Rav Yah, and then again by the Mordechai in Maseches Yuma in Tufshin Chaf Zayin. And sometimes we refer to the book as the Sefer HaKadoshos, the Sefer HaChitzonim, this book of Kabbalah. And this is what everyone is taking it from. Now, this is how other Rishonim say it's a reference to the Yerushalmi Yuma, which talks about there were two groups of people. Only the people who were close, who were karov to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, who heard what was going on, they bowed. But people who were further away, outside the Beis HaMikdash, they did not bow. That's what the Yerushalmi says in Maseches Yuma. Now the Radvaz notes that in his Gemara, and apparently, according to the Dikduke Sofrim, in many of the versions of the Gemara of the Rishonim, they did not have what is in our Gemara. The Gemara in Duma Das Samech Vav brings everything. Let's look at the Gemara here on the bottom. This is an open Gemara in Duma Samech Vav. Kishahim Shomim Shem HaMeforash, when they heard Hashem's name, Shu Yotzim Pi Kohen Gadol, from the mouth of Kohen Gadol, Hayu Korim Umishachtim V'Nofim Al Paneha. Now, our Gemara says they fell on their faces, and the Rishonim did not have such a Gemara. And therefore, that's why, instead of quoting an open Gemara in Yuma, the Rav Yah and the Or Zarua and the Mordechai have to quote from the Heichal Rabasi, which only there says that they fell on their faces. But across the board, we see that it was done, that they fell on their faces, and this is the Mesorah that we have. Okay? And this is what we do. That'll be important later on. Okay. We'll return to that later on.
By the way, since it says with Noflim al Paneim, yeah. Is it an obvious fact that they're on the faces?
Well,
the text.
Where does it say Noflim al Paneim? In the Gemara? In the Python?
Yeah, yeah.
So the Python, there, did they want to know where did the Python get this from, that they were al Paneim? So he says, it's from this book of Kabbalah. But the Ner Girsas of the Gemara didn't have what our Gemaras have, which say openly they fell on their faces. Okay. Regardless, the minhag is to do this, as it says in the Shulchan Aruch. Let's look clearly in Hilchos Yom Kippur. The Ramah writes on the top of the next page, V'noagin lipol al pneim kishomim v'akonim ha'am. The minhag is to fall on our faces when we say v'akonim v'ha'am. Gam ba'alein l'shabech, also n'aleinu. Aval shleach tzibur asur la'akar b'mkomo. Shleach tzibur does not do this. B'sha'at tefillah k'nei lipol al panav and fall on his face. We know that the shleach tzibur does. And that's the Mishnah Berurah and the Achronim discuss the minhag has become that Shleach Tzibur does because we help him up. That's why we have two people to help him up so he can maintain his location and not lose balance of where he was. Okay. The Aruch HaShulchan and the Chai Adam in Kufnim He Lamed He. So they say that the minhag is to be Poshe Adayim V'Raglayim. This is how the Chai Adam brings it, and we'll quote from him in a second. But really, the Chai Adam, as we know, married into the family of the Vilna Gaon, and really what he's probably citing is the minhag that he saw from the Vilna Gaon. Says, it is cited in the Maaser Rav HaChadosh, Siman Tes Zayin. The famous book in which we quote the minhagim of the Vilna Gaon is the Maaser Rav. There's other versions that were passed around, and this is from the Maaser Rav HaChadosh. It's not in the classic version of Maaser Rav, it's in this more, I don't want to say underground, but this lesser studied book of the Vilna Gaon's Minhagim. So it says over here, Hinei ra'isi harbei kan matzmiim al minhag hachasid dekilasenu. I've seen people bewildered by the custom of the chasid of our community, i.e., the Vilna Gaon. What did the Grod do? Binyan shishtachava b'rosh hashanah v'yom ha'kipurim. Shu mishtachava b'pishut yadayim v'raglayim. Lo k'minhag olam. So what do we see first? The minhag is not to do pishut yadayim v'raglayim on Yom Kippur. We just bow on our hands and knees. But the Gra would do it. Aval adarabba, he matzmiyam. He says, no, it's them I have a problem with. Shachasid hanal kain dina de gemara, disa besof perak beis de shmuz. The off mikra shtachavo, zu pishad am raglayim. Lehishtachave, in the lashon of chazal, means to bow down fully extended. And the Gra is doing the right thing. But he goes on to say it's not possible for the rest of the people. Because you daven in a shul, ela'in kenasa lo neis k'moshai b'zman beis hamikdash. We would require a miracle like the time of the beis hamikdash. Hayakayim, shayu omdim tzefufim v'shtachavim revachim. Right, in the beis hamikdash, they were so cramped together, and they couldn't even held their bodies off the ground. That's how packed it was. And when it came time to bow, miraculously they had space to bow. Kisidna da'ara chadhu, shabayimim no'ra'im shahachil v'spal b'knufya, u'biprat al piyazor ha'kadosh, in our shuls, people don't have space to go out fully extended and to have, you know, 10 feet to themselves to put their place on the ground. We have chairs and benches and people, everyone's moving around and kids, and it's a lot. But the Gra, he was doing the right thing because he could, and therefore he did extend fully. But the minig was not. And that's the explanation for why the minig is not to do pishu yadayim v'raglayim, assuming there's a proper covering. For your face. We'll get to the proper coverings later on. But let's look at the Chayadam. Says the Chayadam, Ulfi Minag, Hanachal, Nishtachalos, Bepishut, Yadayim, Viraglayim, Kedin Nishtachavai, Bemigdash. That is the proper Minag, to be fully extended, hands and legs. Ubamakom, Shakarka, Marutzak, Avanim, Asa, Nishtachalos, Kain. If the ground is fully stone, you can't do that. The over Balashnara, you'll violate an Isra in the Torah. And this is what it seems to be. Now, the Matzah Ephraim and the commentators of Matzah Ephraim say the general minhag is not to do Pishut Yadayim V'Raglayim, but there are some Rabbanim in the Tri-State area who do Pishut Yadayim V'Raglayim on Yom Kippur. I mean, some people do it, but most people do not. Okay. The, just...
They do it on a stone floor.
What?
They do it on a stone floor.
Not on a stone floor. Not the people I'm thinking of. So... The just two more things we move on to how to protect ourselves on Yom Kippur. So the Rambam interestingly notes in Hilchos Tefillah in Hei Tezayin, it's not here on the sheet, but he says that every single time we bow on Yom Kippur, for any type of bowing on Yom Kippur, you should go down onto your face. Okay? On the other hand, the Hagos by Moni there on the Rambam says that the Minog was never to bow all the way to the ground in his community on Yom Kippur. So we have different Minhagim in the Rishonim regarding what to do. The Mordechai in Maseches Megillah in Tuft of Zion says that based on the Gemara Megillah, the minhag was to place grass in the shul in order to cover the floor when the people would bow. And this is what the Ramah is citing. It's pretty much citing this idea to put grass down. Now, let's look at the Magen Avraham, and we're going to get into a discussion regarding what's a proper covering and what is not a proper covering. So it says the Magen Avraham there in Hilchos Tachanun. He says putting grass down, putting some sort of straw down, is good. This is the Rambam clearly writes. Grass is perfectly fine. He says this is not like the Rivash. This is not what the Rivash wanted you to do. He says on Rosh Hashanah the thing was not to go all the way down to their faces. By his shul, by Aleinu Rosh Hashanah, they did not go all the way down. They would put their faces to the ground in the Sefer Avodah. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch and Kaf Chav Tes Zayin says we only kneel on Rosh Hashanah, and on Yom Kippur we put our faces to the ground. So there are many different minhagim regarding what was done regarding bowing. Now, the Rav, Rav Shechter writes in Nefesh HaRav, on page Reshid Gimel, so he, the Rav, had an interesting mahalach regarding the difference between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. He said on Rosh Hashanah, when we say Aleinu, there's only an inyan to bow your knees and put your face parallel to the ground, close to, like above the ground, but not on the ground, okay, without touching your head. But in Yom Kippur, it says, V'noflim al pneihem, and therefore the face should be put directly to the ground to correspond what it says in the piyut. Just a few more side points before we get to proper coverings. So there's an interesting minhag by the Hasidim. The Eish Lavram writes here in Tafei Shchaf Aleph, and the Klausenberger Rebbe writes in the Divrei Yitziv in Chelek Beis Reish Samachay, the minhag by Hasidim in many places is not to be Mishtach of the Korim on Yom Kippur that falls on Shabbos like this year. They would not put their faces on the ground and bow fully on Yom Kippur that falls on Shabbos. So they're very bothered why this is the case, and they have to come up with a good reason. So the Eish Lo Avram says the reason is that we don't want it to look like Tachanun. On Shabbos, we don't say Tachanun, which is the reason, one of the reasons why we don't say Avinu Malkeinu on Yom Kippur that falls on Shabbos. Because Avinu Malkeinu is really taking the place of Tachanun. And since it's a Shabbos, it knocks out Tachanun / Avinu Malkeinu. And if we fell on our faces on Yom Kippur that fell on Shabbos, it would look like we were recreating some form of Tachanun. That's the explanation of the Eish Lo Avram. The Klausenberg Rebbe has a different explanation. He says that there are some shittos in the Rishonim that say that muksa is in Isser D'Oraisa, and there on Shabbos. And he says, since the minhag was to place grass down and straw down on the ground, so the grass will be muksa, or the straw will be muksa, and therefore, we need to be machmir on a Yom Kippur that falls on Shabbos to not touch and move the straw and the grass. And therefore, the minhag became to not use, to not bow fully, because you have to bow down on straw and grass. Obviously, according to the Klausenberg Rebbe, if you use the carpet or something else, so then you would be fine. But that's the minhag by some chassidim.
If you set it aside before Shabbos, what would be your problem?
Say again?
If you set it aside before Shabbos, what would be your problem?
If you designate your special Shabbos straw, so then I guess it would take care of it.
If you put it in the shul, it's not
books
anymore.
Sure, you put it aside. I don't know. Okay. I don't know. Kasha and the chassidim, not the first. Okay. So there's a discussion regarding the types of floor in the Achronim. Let's say you have like a floor that's made up of ground stone. Is that still considered a stone floor? Different types of floors, different types of materials. There's a very, 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 very thick sefer. It's unclear why the sefer about this needs to be so thick. But there's a whole sefer that's like 700 pages all about bowing in halacha. It's called Kara Ravas. It's all halachas of bowing. He has an exceptionally long piece about like types of materials that should be used, are considered stone or not stone, but whatever, stone is stone, and that should be enough. The Mordechai and the Rambam clearly indicated that grass or straw was okay. But the minhag, as you can see nowadays, we live in a more not-so-rural society, and therefore, grass and straw is not always available, and we use something else. The Rivash, which was quoted by the Magen Avraham before, so he cites the name of Shviragon, who says that even placing grass and straw is a problem. It doesn't help to protect your face because there, like, maybe there's like some stone that could get through the straw, and you might like touch some stone in between the grass and the straw, and therefore he does not like that. However, the Magen Avraham, as we said, clearly saw and disagreed with the Rivash in that regard. What is it that everyone is so excited about using straw and grass? Is there a deeper level? So there is. The Shaias of Tshuvas Beis Yisrael in Siman Yud Tes says that the Ramah specifically chose grass because Yom Kippur, we know, is the day we got the Luchos Shios. Now the Beis HaLevi has a very long, beautiful drasha about how the Iker is the Torah Shebaal Peh, which we got in Yom Kippur, and Yom Kippur is really a celebration of Torah Shebaal Peh and a celebration of, you know, our continued Mesorah. And he says, since we got the Luchos Shios on Yom Kippur, and what grassy event also has to do with getting the luchos? Har Sinai, right? Har Sinai had grass and flowers, and therefore, just like we decorate the shul with flowers by Shavuos, so on Yom Kippur, we also decorate the shul in a way for Kabbalah Satorah, but we just put grass on the ground and we bow down. So that's what the Beis Yisrael writes regarding why everyone was very excited about grass. The Levushei Mordechai in Siman Kuf Dalid, so he says that only grass is a good hefsek, which is totally against the Rivash. Only grass is a good hefsek. And he says, because it's not bottled to the ground. There's ground and there's grass, and no one, like, it's clearly a hefsek. No one's going to get confused. And it creates a heker, which will remove any issues in that Chazal had. But he said, placing a cloth on the ground doesn't work, says the Levushei Mordechai. And he says that it doesn't help because it's bottled to the ground. It like becomes like carpeting. It becomes mixed into the background, and a cloth does not work. But the minhag is to use some sort of carpet and some sort of cloth. And the question we need to know, if you look at the Art Scroll Machzor, it will always tell you what? That even if you have a carpeted floor, the minhag is to still put something down. Why? So this is Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach. So Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach writes a number of places. The last source here on the page, he writes this in a few places, but we'll quote it from Halicha Shlomo. So Halicha Shlomo says, "Shtiach haparus derech keva." If you have a throw carpet, Okay, something that you put down on the ground, the Beis HaKnesses, Hareu kehesek min ha-ritzpa, u'motu l'shachalos al-gabav. Carpeting is fine. You can put some carpeting down. But it says here, v'me'ikr ha-din mutu l'shachalos al-gabav gam im hu mechubar l'karka. Even a permanent carpet, mikr ha-din is fine. It's fine. You don't have to put any paper towels down or anything like that. But he says, ach bazeh ha-minag l'hachmer. The minig is to be machmir because the fear is that it's bottled to the ground. It's become part of the ground, and therefore he says the minig is to be machmir. You don't, if you're davening in a shul Yom Kippur that has carpet, really you don't have to put anything down. You're clear. You're fine. Right? There's no problem with any of the gemaras or anything like that. But, says Rosh Hashanah, the minig has become to put something down even in a permanently carpeted shul. Okay. We've seen a few shuls that when people bow, they put something by their knees. They don't put it by their face. It should be by your face, but people put something by their knees. So the Achronim say that is ridiculous. You're not accomplishing anything by putting anything by your knees. It's really, the whole issue is your face. So the stipend, it said the name, the stipend, Orchas Rabbeinu Chelik Beis, Kuf Pei Ches, that the stipend would place a towel down and place his face on the towel. And the Rav Shammai Gross in the Shev Akahasi, in Chelik Beis Samach Aleph notes, says that putting something on your knees accomplishes absolutely nothing. It needs to be on your face. Right? The whole thing is putting your face on the ground, especially here in our very stone shul. In addition, he says that you're allowed to use a talus to cover your face as well if you don't have anything. The Mishnah Berurah also implies you can use a talus. And some people talk about using the kittel if you have. But really, you can use a talus if you want to. It's not a problem. It's not a bizayon to the talus because you're using it for a mitzvah. And a talus is not a tashmish al kedusha. It's a tashmish al mitzvah. And if you're using it for a form of a mitzvah, you're allowed to use the talus if you want. Okay. Now, we'll end off with regarding women. The women, are they mishnachavah on Yom Kippur? So, according to the Rav, in Nefesh HaRav, again in the same place, so he says the minhag and lita was that women did not bow. They did not bow by Yom Kippur. But the minhag in Berlin, when he went to study in Berlin, he saw the minhag did bow. The minhag was that women did bow. So he can't differentiate between Lithuania and Berlin, but he wants to give deference to both minhagim. So he says, what's the difference? He says that Yom Kippur davening, and this is what the Yushalmi referred to before was talking about. Those who are closest to the Kohen, they bowed. And those who are furthest away, so they didn't bow. Well, who was furthest away? It was the women who were in the Ezras Nashim. And since the women were further away from the Ezras Nashim, therefore, in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, the women didn't bow. Because they were rachok. They weren't karov to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And therefore, the Rav said, that's where the minhag came from, that they did not bow. Because that was seemingly what was done in the Beis HaMikdash. So that's the question. On the other hand, though, they were still in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Rav made a chakir out of it. He said, is the ikar that being in the courtyard, where there were no women and they were rachok, or is the ikar hearing the Kohen Gadol, which theoretically applied to everyone? Was the ikar hearing the Kohen Gadol, or is the ikar being in the courtyard? Women weren't in the courtyard, but they heard the Kohen Gadol. And therefore, that seems to be the difference in Minhagim. I guess in Lithuania, they held that the Ikra was being in the courtyard, and in Berlin, the Ikra was hearing the Kohen Gadol. And that explains the difference in Minhagim. Things come up in different Sfarim, Rafaim Greenblatt, and other Sfarim discuss them by women, but obviously women should keep whatever Minhag is on the shul and by their mothers.
But you're saying that you put the cloth by your face. In other words, if it's short, when you bow down, your knees can be on the ground.
Yeah, knees can be on the ground. Just face. On the stone. Your knees can be on the stone.
Is it because your knees are covered
or something? No, it has nothing to do with your knees. The knees are not part of the factor. It's all about face.
I thought the issue was you can't have your full body bowing, so therefore, whatever serves as a chassisa between your body and...
Just this whole issue is pneham, right? It's clear from the Gemara, right? So you show the whole thing is about face. Yeah.
You don't put anything down on the stone floor.
I didn't touch it.
Oh. You don't put anything down.
Yeah.